Today we want to talk about taking advantage of divine opportunities. There are a lot of those divine opportunities that we have the opportunity to take advantage of. Focusing mainly on making spiritual investments this year, making spiritual investment as we take care of those divine opportunities. So we want to make spiritual investments. Can everybody say, making spiritual investments? Amen. One more time. Amen. God bless you. Making spiritual investments. You may be seated, because they said only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. And therefore, we must do those things which are eternal. We must do those things which are spiritual. We must do those things which are divine. We must take advantage of divine opportunities. How do we do that? By making spiritual investments. Amen. We know the story that Jesus had come to Israel, and Israel was a symbol, the fig tree. Jesus had come to the fig tree, and the fig tree was a symbol of Israel. Jesus was talking to them about the importance of repentance. Amen. In verse 3, he talks about repentance. In verse 5, he talks about repentance, because he's saying that the reason why you can't, or we cannot bear fruit, is that we haven't repented. Amen. Repent means you have to be willing to change before there can be fruit. That's why John, when he saw those Pharisees come to him, I believe in Matthew 3:10, I didn't look that up, but he said to the Pharisees and scribes, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he said in verse 8 of Matthew 3, "Bring forth fruit meet for repentance." In other words, bring forth fruit that proves you have repented. When there's fruit in one's life, it proves that repentance has occurred. You must pass the repentance test. I guess what I'm saying is you got to see John before you see Jesus. Your heart has got to change. And he says that they were not bearing fruit, and that was the reason why this fig tree was called barren. It was identified as being barren. Jesus said, "I came to it 3 years," in verse 7, "seeking fruit. And all it's doing, I couldn't find any." So he said, "Cut the tree down. It is sucking the nutrients out of the soil, and it's taking up space. It's being allowed to exist for nothing." Isn't that interesting? It's using the sun, it's using the air to live, but as it lives, it doesn't do anything. And he says, cut it down, because it's using energy to exist for nothing. Just breathing air for nothing. You're not doing anything. You're just drinking water for nothing. You're living for nothing. And not only that, the tree is in the way. Somebody else could be in that spot. Amen. Somebody else could be that person's husband. Somebody else could be that person's wife. You're not doing that with the position. You're not doing that with the office. You just taking up folks' life, time, and space. Amen. You just So Jesus said, it sounds rude, but he said, just cut it down. Amen. You don't need to be just standing there, because it is don't really deserve existence. It really doesn't. He said, cut this tree down. No, this tree, you would think he said, no, cut the tree down. Replace the tree. Because it's not effective. Well, he says that how do we really take advantage of time? We take advantage of time by not focusing on earthly things, but focusing on eternal things. Earthly things. You know those earthly things that we get caught up in, like, remember that car you polished so pretty? Remember when you had that lawn so perfect, like you were in a lawn contest? And where is that car and lawn now? You use your energy for something that really was not eternal. It was earthly. And there's nothing wrong with doing good earthly things, but never get your priorities mixed up. And we cannot afford to invest the best in that which is earthly, and then when it comes to the best, we're not giving our best. Amen. Because this year is almost, this is the last of January 2016 that you're going to see. It just got here, but it's gone already. This is an 11-month year now, starting tomorrow. And if you're going to talk about January again, amen. If you're going to talk about January, you got to talk about it at 2017, because this, you see how it slipped away from us? And so what it is telling to us here this morning is that we need to take advantage of our time by not investing in earthly things, but to invest in eternal things. Eternal things. Amen. And that's what the aim of our sermon. That's why we got to get our priorities straight, is because we need to invest in eternal things. We need to look back over our priorities and make sure that that we are putting our investments in our best, investing in the best first. God is calling for that. And so what he says to us basically is, and maybe I'll go over that again later, but I'm going to just follow up with the Spirit. The thing is, he says that this tree, he says, let it alone this year. And God is saying, he want to know, if he give you this year, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to continue to invest in that which is earthly, or are you going to focus on that which is eternal? What are you doing now that's eternal? And what are you investing in that is eternal? Amen. Worshiping is good, because that's eternal. God is watching us. He said that we ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. So I'm doing something and I'm not wasting my time. I could have been at the car wash, but that would have been earthly. I decided that I want to go to church and make some eternal investments. Amen. I want to invest in the things of God, that which is spiritual. He said, let it alone this year. Because, and I tell you what, if it doesn't bear any fruit this year, then go ahead and cut it down. But what would you say in response to the vine dresser? Would you say that I deserve this year, I'm going to do more things for God this year, or will God continue to be second? We need to give God. A lot of us want time, but we're not going to do anything with it. For God, we're going to take something as precious as time and waste it. No, I'm going to make sure that I was on the clock. I'm going to make sure God gets some of my black hair, not just my gray hair. I'm going to make sure that God gets some of my energy. I'm not going to give the devil the best. I'm devoted. I want him to know it, and I want it to go on record. Eternal things. I need to give him my time, my talent, and my treasure. I need to give him my time. The psalmist said, teach us to number our days, Psalm 90 and 12. Teach us to number our days, because January just slipped away from you all, and we need to be taught to number our days. Number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Realize that you're not going to always be here. Realize that there's a funeral coming. Write your obituary. It's going to happen. Unless Jesus come back, number your days. Don't get the idea that you're going to live forever. Amen. You're not immortal. We're all going to die. And you can't make time stop. You can't slow time down. So in the meantime, I must do what I can to make the investments. Amen. Because if I make the investments, then God will give me a return on my investment. He's the only one who can do that. I'm not going to live for no home or no car or no lawn and then die. And somebody else have a lawn and somebody else have a car. And I invested time in that. No. I want to go on record saying, you know what? I've been serving the Lord. Amen. Anybody here want to go on record saying, I've been serving the Lord? I'm going to let him get some fruit out of my time. My time is his time. Time is important. You know, when you get in trouble, that's what they take. They take your time. That's what he's doing. He's doing time. Yeah. They'll get some money first, but when they really get bad, it's really getting down to the wire, they're taking your time. You get 90 years. I'm going to get your time. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get your time. You got two life sentences. Time is precious. Do you know what you could have done with a whole year? But you won't do anything with it unless you obligate it. Unless you schedule something. Unless you sign up for something, unless you do something, unless you plan something, unless you have goals. See, goals. And then when I establish some goals, that helped me get my priorities straight. And then when I establish some goals, I develop some objectives to reach those goals. This year I'm going to finish school. And in order to do that, now that I'm working and have children and got a husband that's almost like a kid, I've got to have some objectives, because this goal is not attainable. It's up there and I want to do it, but I got to come up with a strategy. I got to have some objectives to, this is how I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do, but this is how I'm going to do it. I got it all mapped out. And I'm going to use time to help me do it, because time is going to motivate me, because time is not going to wait. You got to do it now. Not now. Shout, if not now, when? Amen. Don't procrastinate. Get in the mode of procrastination. Let me get on out of here. The truth is that I've got to have some priorities. I've got to have some goals. I'm going to invest my time wisely. I got to give God of my time. I got to give God of my talent. Amen. Amen. This tree did not have any fruit. It was just full of leaves. It was self-serving. Amen. It served itself. It didn't do anything for anybody else. The tree did not exist for others. You see, when you use your talent that God gave you, he put something in you. Other people benefit from it. Amen. I'm here to serve. And I got the carpe diem. I've got to maximize the time that I have. I've got to take advantage of the time because my gift is here as well. My gift is, what makes my gift significant is the fact that I'm doing something for somebody else. Amen. But when I'm just doing something for myself, that gift does not really, it's self-serving. I want to exist because God has given me the ability to do something that is beneficial to other people. And I've got time to do it. I'm still here. Are you doing it? Because you see, you got to make sure that you're doing what you were put here for, because that determined the existence of the tree. The tree was going to get cut down if it didn't fulfill its purpose. So if you want a reason to live, give God a reason for you to live. He's not going to give you the time to waste. If this tree is going to produce fruit, I'll let it live. Because I've given God a reason for me to live, because I'm carrying out his will. And if I'm carrying out his will, I can't die. Because I'm carrying out his will. Look, the plane can't take me out. The car can't take me out. Can't nobody take me out, because I'm doing something for the Lord. And when you're doing something for the Lord, he will make sure you're protected. But if you're going to waste his time on the devil, it's like driving in the wrong lane. You're in danger. But I got to get over here where God wants me to drive, because I want to do his will. I'm doing what he told me to do, where he told me to do it, when he told me to do it. So I got a reason for living. And God is going to protect my reason, because my reason is carrying out his will. I'm not going to get cut down because he got something for me to do. You can't cut me down. My heart's not going to stop. No disease going to take me out, because I'm on a divine assignment. You can't take me out. Not if you wanted to. The house can burn down. I'll come out. You say, how did you get out? Well, the truth of the matter is that the tree's existence was based on its obedience to God. And if I'm obedient to God, then I can even add time to my life. I can fulfill my life. I can ensure that I'm going to have life. But if I'm going to waste God's, then cut it down. Because he said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work on the tree. God says, I want you to get the tree. You need to get your life organized. You get your life prioritized, things in your life, and then you need to get fertilized. And what are you going to get fertilized with? Well, the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says that as newborn babes in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes desire it. So I'm not producing because I'm malnourished. I'm undernourished. But if I drink the milk of the Word, if I feed on the Word of God, it give me good strong bones and muscles and teeth and my spiritual man. Amen. It works. My life has vision, and it's God's will. I have a desire to please him. Because when I do his will, he takes care of me. When I do his will, when I fulfill his purpose, he makes everything all right. God is the one who does that. Amen. Time, I need to give him my talent. That means I'm going to let God use me. I'm going to fulfill my purpose. My purpose is based on my obedience. I could be cut short. You know, the Bible did say, why should they die? It says to some young people, why should they die before their time? That means you can die before your time. Why? Because you're not doing what God told you to do. So therefore, you put yourself in harm's way. So I got to get connected with the Word of God, and I need to find out what God wants me to do, and I need to know what God's will is. I give him my talent, and I give him my treasure. The Bible says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth. That's what he said. Don't have no earthly goal. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But in verse 20 of Matthew 16, he said, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Amen. What's your bank account like in heaven? You got anything in it? He said, put some treasure in heaven. And whenever I invest these things, I'm putting treasure in heaven, because I'm going to get my time back. I invested it wisely. I invested in eternal things. Now, we're not talking about you can't enjoy life, but we're talking about you can't get your priorities mixed up. God comes first. And I already told you, anything you put in a competition with God is going to be in trouble. Don't put nobody in harm's way. Get out of God's way. Get out of the way. God comes first. Put all your stuff back behind God. Your people, nobody is so special they come before God. And the reason why he asks for our money is not because he needs it, because he owns everything. The cattle on a thousand hills. Somebody said a hill the cattle is standing on belong to God. Everything belong to God. The cow eat God's grass. God owns it all. It's his gold. Tell him we going to a place where we walk on gold. Amen. And the gold is made of gold. It's pure gold. It's not streets gold plated. It's God. We give to God our treasure. I think it's because God knows that we love money so much. He said, matter of fact, verse 21 says in Matthew 6, it said, where a man's treasure, that's where his heart is. And I think if Jesus really want to know if he has our heart, he has to go to money, because money is something everybody loves. Where a man's treasure, that's where his heart is. You really want to know if he loves you? Ask him for some money. Oh, people love money. God want to make sure you have a healthy heart, and your heart is not healthy. And money is the only thing that God uses to diagnose the human heart. Money is the only thing. You look at Scripture, that's what he used. He said, usually people love money. And the more love of money is the root of all evil. Usually people are hooked on money. You don't know you got them if God can't get their money, their money. Money is what they said, well, I'm going to give me everything, but I ain't going to give them no money now. It may be in my heart, but it ain't going to make it to my pocketbook. God, tell your neighbor, I want to know. Amen. The fact of the matter is that he goes, and a person who has a healthy heart is a person who gives to Almighty God. How you going to give to the movies and give to football games all this money, and you spend more on a Coke than some folk put on an offering plate? And talking about you love God. No. Mm-mm. No. Something wrong. Something wrong with that picture. God always, when he gets our heart, everything comes before. God gets his hands on everything. Nothing comes before God. If you really got a converted and a healthy heart, you are a giver. Amen. To God. First and foremost, I give to God. He loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. He don't want nobody who giving and they don't want to give it. No, you keep yours. I want somebody who gives with a loving heart, a cheerful. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy giving to the Lord. Amen. I enjoy giving to my children. I enjoy giving to my grandchildren. It gets me excited. I'm going to do something for it. And how is it I can have a father and I don't want to give him anything? And the main thing I hold on to mostly is money. So whenever I let the money go, I'm really, I know I must be in love with the Lord, because Well, man, treasures, let me get on. Y'all don't like money anyways. Well, the fact is, he says, make spiritual investments. You will never outgive God. He's not going to let you outgive him. So I've tried it. Somebody give me something. I said, I'm going to give it to somebody else. Somebody else needs it more than I do. They give me, I can't give it away. The more I give away, the more it comes back to me. And he's, I'm not going to let you outgive me. Put it somewhere. Give it away. Somebody go, give it away. And he makes you open. And your heart becomes open and your hands become open. And you live with an open hand. A lot of folks say they love folk, but they can't get their hand open to them. We need the Lord not only, as I said, give us open hearts, but open hands. And the God, as we close, get a vision for your life. Jesus Christ gave his life. I'm going to run through these real quickly. Jesus gave his life. When you have a vision for your life, you can have a vision for your marriage. You can have a vision for yourself. You can have something that you live by. Vision gives focus to human energy. And when I have my energy and I'm just letting it go to everywhere, I mess up. Vision gives focus to human energy. And vision flows from the inside out, not from the outside in. Amen. Vision. God's something that he puts in your heart. I have a vision for my life as a Christian. I want to live it in a way that honors God. And I have to plan something. I have to make him priority to do that, as I'll see. I have to make sure that God, that I have a plan, and on my plan, in my plan, God is included, and God is at the top. Some people have a problem with giving and tithing and things of that nature, and they say, well, I've got all these other things to do. The problem is where you get it from. You see, you're supposed to honor God with the first fruits. And if you're not giving it to God first, you won't ever have enough. I give to God first, or he ain't gonna ever be messed up. I give God first. Because I know I'm not gonna be able to give him, you know. You can't be God giving. That's not just not a song. Somebody found it out.